Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, November 19th. Yes, you heard that correctly. Near the end of the year.
I'm already Christmas shopping.
Oh, man, you said it. Hey, Kevin said the words first. He said Christmas, so we're not even up to Thanksgiving yet. He's got to throw out the Christmas words.
Hey, I'll be the first person to tell you I wanted to put the Christmas tree up as soon as Halloween was
really?
Done. Yeah, well, yeah.
November 1st, that was Christmas.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're the guy that has the Christmas lights on and everything. November 1st. Like, hey, it's not even Thanksgiving, man. Wait till the weekend after. No, that's cool.
That's
nothing
me.
Wrong with that.
I love Christmas time.
Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't?
My pocketbook.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's okay. That's part of giving, right?
Exactly.
You give, and
your pocketbook included.
Yep. And you hope that somebody at least gives you something. I don't know. A card?
At least a high five.
That's right. You know, it's not about getting, I guess, right?
No.
Oh, man. It's about giving. But Gary's like, I give all year.
Exactly.
Why do I give more?
Mm-hmm.
Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Not too bad.
How you doing?
A little sleepy, but good.
A little sleepy.
Yeah. We're not bringing up anything else.
I'm good, huh?
I'm good.
You don't want to bring up them Kings?
Nope.
Are you sure?
No, I'm fine with it. Yep.
Okay.
Hey, you know what?
Just checking.
The part of competition sports, man. You win and lose. It goes both ways, right?
Big time.
So, Kevin Terrell, thanks for being here.
Oh, no, thanks for having me again.
Oh, man, we can't get enough of Kevin Terrell, can we?
Well, you probably could.
We'll let you know. Well, Gary says, oh, man, you know, you really don't have to come in no more. I just play.
No, as long as the Kings are beating the Knights, come on in.
So remember that. You see the Knights win a game against the Kings.
They only got two more this regular season. So.
Oh, really?
They're both here.
When they spread that out?
Yeah, I don't know the dates, but yeah, they spread it out.
Yeah, I'm not.
Maybe we should attend one of those games. Huh?
Uh-huh. As long as it's not a Tuesday night, I'm in.
Aren't they on Tuesday nights? A lot of
some of them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh well. Of course, Matt Esposito. Thank you.
Hello.
Appreciate it, man. Here.
Matt, I was thinking about you this weekend when we were sliding around out in the parking lot in San Diego. I was having a lot of fun with those teenagers. Thinking about the skid plate cars. I was like, man, this would be so much fun.
Wow.
I was thinking about it.
If you guys need, like, Kia testers to test, call any of us. I'll be there. We'll skid plate those all day long. So you guys, what you do is you guys put a ring or something on the tire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, just that little plastic ring.
Right.
Flips and slides, and it's a lot of fun.
Is that made just for you guys? Or you guys get
No. These are a lot of different companies use them.
Really?
Yeah. We you got to remember the drifting world. They go through a lot of tires, so
they use that.
They use that instead. Exactly.
I have to remember that.
It helps with car control.
Do they lock on?
Not really lock on. We put them over. We deflate the tires,
okay,
and then as soon as we slide them over, we inflate the tire and it kind of holds it in.
Yep. Can we put a race on where you get all four tires with those on?
That'd be a lot of fun.
We'll see who gets where and how slow.
I'm just wondering how different it would be
compared to a slid car.
Not have the metal skids to run the cars like that around the track.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know the difference between, because you got to think about the friction of metal versus steel,
right?
Or a metal versus plastic. So I think it might be a little easier to control the slid car on the metal than it would be the plastic.
Your wheels still spin and stuff like that. You don't lock them out or anything like that. So you still have some give
exactly.
As far as that goes. And the plastic, obviously, is whatever type of plastic it is, a polymer, some kind
it's
of
very,
that,
yeah.
That they wear down.
They do.
And
it would be a curious test.
It'd be fun to play with. Maybe I should get some old ones and we'll go out to the bone ring and we'll see what's up.
Let's do it.
Well, let's not tell anybody. We'll stick them on Tim's a car out there or something when he's leaving the parking lot, and he won't know what the hell's going on.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I didn't say Tim. I mean, one of the cars out there.
No, let's put it on the pace car. That'd be great.
There you go. The skid plate. Might as well be a skid plate pace car, too. Now I don't know. That would be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I almost did it this weekend. I was working a car auction.
No.
And there were multiple cars that qualify.
Well, you have one. Oh, that's rear wheel drive, huh? The one you got? Okay. Oh, well. I was going to say, use your street car, just skid it on and drive it home.
No, yeah. I found multiple cars, so. But.
Didn't pull the trigger, huh?
I had the whole back. I had bills to pay.
Oh, man.
But,
your priorities are all screwed
you know
up.
What? In all my time of racing, that's never stopped.
they'll wait for you.
Yeah, no, but.
You always find a way to pay the bills.
Definitely have opportunities, so hopefully the rest of the year goes okay, and we'll see what happens in March. See if I can put something together.
You can help pay the bills with the change you find in the car while you're stripping it.
Yeah,
spend a day or two at the junkyard getting the change, right? And whatever else you find in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if I do build a new one, Kevin, you're top of the list to take it out.
I just want to see what the difference would be between the what we do with the teams
right.
compared to what you guys do on the track.
It'd be a lot of fun. That would be, I guess, a good test to see. I mean, obviously, it's two different conditions. You know, you're going to race track conditions where you have a little banking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So probably have a little more control, I would think.
With the banking kind of holds you.
Can predict a little bit of what you're up against, whereas on a flat surface, it could whip
you definitely use the banking to your advantage. You know, you can slow down, speed up, and kind of use that banking as resistance.
When you guys do that, did you guys used to use just water or anything like that? And why did you switch to that opposed to water? Because water, you would think, is more of a real-life condition.
With water, it's one of those things where it kind of is a life condition, but at the same time, we want to try to simulate snow and ice.
Okay.
And
kind of an extreme condition.
Exactly, extreme conditions. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, with water, what we had to do in that time, we had the sprinkler systems,
right.
And then we'll have to throw the e-brake. And with that, of course, it puts a lot of wear and tear on the vehicles.
Right.
The e-brake starts to stretch. So it's just one of those things where it just made a lot more sense. We didn't have to wash the car between
right.
sessions. Logistically, it was just easier.
You know, what they should do is with a person that texts and drive, put them in a simulation of a seat and have an airbag hit him in the face.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you know how fast those things come out at you?
I don't want to know.
200 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
200 miles an hour.
That's a bad day there.
Oh, it's a horrible day.
Yeah.
That's embedding really that iPhone into your face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or your wristwatch or anything else.
Or your nose further into your face. Is that like a – of course, what we're talking about right now is, Kevin Terrell, are part of the
brakes program
with
Doug Herbert. Yep.
You know, and you guys travel different areas and put on this program to help educate drivers on safety, basically
safe
driving, and make them aware of extreme, you know, driving conditions and how to handle those conditions. So now I got off track, but do you guys have videos and stuff like that you show them on when these airbags are deployed and like that?
No, we do have
do?
In my, because I do a lot of the driver training sessions before we actually go out to the cars, and in the videos we have, just a little video shows the airbag go off. Some schools, if we have cars that get donated, so like Pomona, we're in Pomona in 3 weeks, more than likely they're going to go ahead and send out cars from the junkyard that still have the airbags deployed.
That's cool.
So we'll actually go ahead and have an airbag demonstration.
Okay.
They'll be able to go ahead and see what it looks like. We'll be able to go ahead and cut the car. The fire department will actually cut the car open with the jaws alive and everything.
That'd
but that
cool.
airbag demonstration, it's eye-opening because, again,
seeing,
it looks like a pillow. It's not a pillow.
Right.
I mean, it's
– And seeing is – and when you see that deployed, like you drive by an accident, you never really think too much of what conditions that was under in order for that to deploy and what it does after it deploys to somebody, even if they have a seatbelt on or without. Even,
if they're
so.
Too close to the steering wheel, things like that. We do a lot of stuff where we make sure that they understand how close they need to be in that vehicle to avoid.
What's kind of a good range? I mean,
so what we normally tell the team,
as far away as possible, if you ask me, right?
You want a good bend in your elbows when you're holding the wheels at the 9 and 3 position. But I always like to go ahead and do like just 2 hang looses.
Okay.
Yep. You just get 2 little hang looses
right there.
And then that's a good distance.
Okay.
It's not going to go ahead and pop out more than that.
Okay. We'll have to remember that. I'm going to make sure you guys are doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah,
well,
that's good to know. You know,
the
information.
The 9 and 3 change came with airbags.
Airbags. Yep.
Because it allows your arms to go away instead of toward you. Correct?
Exactly. Yep.
Does that actually depend on the type of steering wheel design at all, or
all
because you don't want to take your thumbs away if the airbag deploys, right?
Yeah. No. All the steering wheels, especially the Kias, Mitsubishi, things like that, we do a lot of the programs in.
Okay.
They're all designed nowadays with the 9 and 3. They have little thumb hangers.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So they actually engineer that in.
Oh, yeah. No, they're smart about it now.
Save broken thumbs. That's all I can think of. You get a bad facial day and two broken thumbs.
Is there a way to inflate an airbag maybe in the car so someone could sit there and actually have the bag inflated in front of them?
You could probably fake it, you know, take an old airbag.
Somehow. I mean, there's got to be a way to do it. But, it's more like almost like a firework going off inside the bag that deploys the air real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking with the visual, if someone's sitting in the car and you had the bag, you know, you'd hit it with the air compressor and it shows the actual space that it's encompassing. Maybe it'll give a good realization that this thing is going to knock you for a loop.
Do some damage, but at the same time, saving your life.
Why are you getting knocked for a loop?
Yeah, I guess I'd rather be knocked out than not have it at all.
Yeah.
So, but that also depends on that you're wearing
your
safety belt.
Yeah, everything's got to work together.
Right.
Seatbelts work with the airbags. The airbags work with, of course, the side curtain airbags and everything else like that.
Going through this program, when you first kind of touched base on this, starting to do it, did you realize how much you could have learned? I'm sure you learned a few things going into this.
Program. Definitely. I mean, I was still in the mindset of the 10 and 2.
Right.
And they're like, 9 and 3 is where it's supposed to be at. I mean, essentially, I mean, that's where we have our hands in the race cars. But, I mean, still thinking 10 and 2 is what they're teaching the DMVs.
What did JJ have? 12? One-handed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to catch you off.
Left-handed at that.
Yeah. Thought of JJ smoking and driving.
And I just saw, speaking of it, just people with their weird style of driving, I saw Pat Petrie Jr. was on. So I remember going out and watching Pat in the mods when I was spotting for him. He would always have his right hand.
Oh, hanging,
Just hanging on the hanging.
That's funny.
And then he would drive with one arm.
Right.
And he wouldn't get tired. I was very, very surprised. I remember one night, I think we were in Havasu. He came in the pits and he's like, I go, were you out there driving with one arm? I'm like, what were you doing? Like, did you have the OS handle out there? And he goes,
it's
comfortable.
That's how I drive.
JJ raced the dirt, holding left, just straight up on the left. And his hand was always on the roll bar on the top.
Right? Yep. Yeah. Yep. Same as Pat.
Left-handed. He would drive that car anywhere it went.
I think it's a control thing because I'm the same way. I'm either 9 or 3, but I'm rarely both because then you start playing with the wheel. I have more control with one hand.
I'm usually like all over the clock, back and forth.
But also,
that's a bad day.
That is a bad day.
But I also was used to driving a manual, so you always had your
hand,
down here. Now with the paddle shifters,
right.
Oh, I love driving the paddle shifters, like in the Super Trofeos when you're driving those kind of cars.
Oh, I don't know what that's about.
Ooh.
You have to explain that.
What the hell kind of car is that?
That's a Lamborghini. Yeah. Yeah.
You're officially off the show. Hey, that's
you want to talk Volkswagen or something?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Let's talk Beetles. No, that's cool. I mean,
speaking of dirt, did you guys see that Justin Miller got his car back?
Yes,
I heard. I didn't.
That was neat, right?
Is that crazy?
Wow.
Any other?
And
word?
It ran.
That's the crazy part.
Anything
that's
beyond that? Like who may have?
They said they found a guy, not the guy, but a guy associated with it. He didn't go into too much detail. I mean, I'm just more happy the fact that he's got his car back.
Absolutely.
That's neat.
And running.
I know.
And intact, right? That's even more amazing. Couldn't ask for a better outcome, except if there was a trailer involved, too, and he got that back.
Yeah.
He got the trailer back. The trailer
he got that just a couple days later.
Yeah, they dumped that.
Oh.
It was a total loss, he told me. But, you probably could have fixed it.
Yeah.
But
where's this trailer at?
I don't like to see trailers go to the junkyard.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's the insurance company looking at it, yes, it's a total loss. But if it's coming out of your own pocket, yes, it can be fixed. No, that's cool. It's good to hear a story to end that way in our racing world, because we know these race cars that we deal with and buy and trade and whatever else, however we get them, they have some meaning.
Oh, yeah.
And you hate to see something like that happen. So that's cool. Cool.
Good to. So did any of you guys go to the dirt races? I know I didn't go.
No, I didn't go. I know it sucks.
Wow.
All of us here.
Wow.
One of the biggest dirt races out here at locally.
I went to a dirt race, but not that one.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? The Demolition Derby downtown.
Oh, how was that?
Good.
I saw Adam Simon was out there, right?
Oh, I didn't see him.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Not Adam Simon. Who was
Billy Grasser finished fourth in the minis on Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Billy Grasser. He was doing pretty good.
Why didn't you find something?
Billy was
station wagon?
No, I didn't have time.
We actually could have, huh?
Yeah.
Aaron says the trailer was 6 inches shorter than before it was started.
Oh, damn, that sucks.
Gary said he could still fix it.
Yes, they probably backed it into a wall.
Yeah, probably. That sucks. But yeah, I went for a little bit. I didn't catch the very end main event, but let me tell you, that promoter for that whole program there did a hell of a job. I mean, the stands were packed. They had the main event that I was there for. There was in actually demoing in one main event in full size. Cars was 23, and you're saying the second one had 23 in it also.
Yeah.
You're talking 50
full size cars.
Full size demolitions, not including the minis.
It's a small arena, right? It's like a normal rodeo arena.
Smaller than that. I'm guessing probably 40 yards one way and maybe 25 or 30 the other way.
And when I first walked onto it and seen it, I thought, well, this is probably good for the mini, because that's what Billy Grasser did. There's a mini demo.
I saw his front tire on that thing.
That's something else.
Super aggressive
tractor tires.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing. Hey, they're good for minis, but then I wouldn't have thought there was enough room for a full size. But then they crammed 23 on there, which to me was a little much. But it was still a good show.
Yeah.
It went on for a little while. I would have liked to have seen maybe half that field. Kind of going at it, but let me tell you, them things are something else. He's in the demo world.
I know he is.
There he is, he can explain all about it. These are full welds.
Yeah, full
everything. I mean,
everything's welded. Everything.
And what's crazy is they do heat races and stuff like that. I won't say races, but heat events.
Yep.
Where they're banging the crap out of these things, knowing that they're going to get smashed, but they do things to them so they smash a certain way so they can refix them for the main event.
Yeah.
Now, what's his name?
Some of them take multiple cars.
What's his name out in Pahrump? His car that he sold, that big giant beast of a car.
Oh, was it a Cadillac?
It was a Cadillac. Did that go to that? Was it that demo?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
No,
did it end up at a demo?
I saw on his Facebook that it was on its way to a demolition derby.
Yeah, I hate to see that. I'd love to take something out there to race it as a bomber. Like the old days.
And then go demo it?
Make it a demo at the track.
Right.
No. I don't know. I like the big boats and stuff like that.
They had some pretty nice cars out there that were hitting hard. Hard.
Oh, man.
The night before, Friday night, I wasn't there, but I saw pictures. They had like three cars stacked on top of each other. That's how hard they
ended up that way.
Yeah, they ended up that way. And then Saturday night, more than once, there was a car at the back of another car, and it just shoved it right over the
hanging
barricade.
On the wall.
Yeah,
just
it was
like
hanging
on
the
wall.
Wall. Oh, yeah.
A couple
just,
different times.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
And that car just sat there on the wall. They didn't stop the demo to get it off or anything. They just sat there until they called a red flag for something on the track or something. Then that guy got out of it. But
was he still able to run at that point?
No,
or is he
no,
considered
no,
out?
He's
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Man, like sumo wrestling.
In that, in the full-size well, in the full-size demo, they gave the drivers 1 minute to hit someone.
Oh,
so,
it's a little bit more aggressive than what
right,
the bullring usually does,
right.
Like 5 minute rule or something
yeah,
like that.
8 minute rule, 10 minute. No, I'm just kidding.
10 minute with three car,
yeah.
three demo.
No,
I'm
yeah.
just kidding.
No, they only gave them 1 minute, and if you were there and you didn't hit nobody in that 1 minute, they would make you pull your flag, and then you would be out of the demo. So when you're up on the wall and you can't go nowhere,
yep, you're done
yeah. anyways.
Yeah.
And your teammate can't even help you unless he pushes you off the wall, I guess, or to try to run him. Yeah, and that's how it was too for the main. There was a
team
event there.
Yeah.
Was it a team. Minimum of four each or didn't matter?
No, it didn't. It didn't matter. I thought I saw two a couple times, but it was a $13,000 to win show.
Oh, geez.
And then they paid down. It was over $100,000 in prize money
for the whole
for
night.
The whole.
That's
demo.
A pretty good promoter.
Or for the whole event, I guess.
Yeah,
Thursday.
For that,
it was
yeah.
Thursday, Friday, and
yeah,
Saturday.
And when I got there on Saturday, there was a lot of cars being loaded on trailers that didn't make the race
the main,
that night. The
that's
main.
Crazy.
And they had two mains, not one, two.
Well, and when you paid for your ticket out there, it's just like a drag race. It's a pit pass, so you can walk around. And let me tell you, some of these guys from all over, they bring they bring their shop.
I'm sorry, yeah. Billy just corrected me. It was $30,000 to win, not $13,000.
And that was for each main.
Yeah, each main. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, that's why you
I'm in the wrong sport.
I know, right?
So you can destroy your car and actually
make money.
Make more money than what you paid for the car.
Right.
So it's totally different than auto racing.
Well, let me tell you, I know a lot of these cars, of course, they run straight pipe and they make it all crazy and stuff, but some of these engines these things have, I don't know what they have in these things, but they're not just junkyard motors either.
Oh, no.
Well,
they
want more power,
they're
right?
They're made to run and without water,
yeah.
most likely,
yeah.
because...
And you see these guys just putting around, you know, hitting and putting around. And then all of a sudden, that one car that's just putting
you're
around.
Thinking it's halfway dead.
He steps on it and it gets going.
And it sounds better than a super late model.
Oh, yeah.
And then he rams somebody so hard it pushes them onto the wall.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That was one of the better demos that I've been to. And I haven't been to very many.
So they've only had two demos at that place so far, right?
Yes. One, yeah, I don't know when the other one was.
Just a couple, I want to say it was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And then they went all out. I got buddies in the wrestling world. I know they had like a wrestling ring set up there as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's like, I had a buddy's like, yeah, no, we're setting one of the rings up at the Demolition Derby over at the Plaza. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Hey, can we do an event with your wrestler buddies? What we'll do is we'll have a race, and if you lose, you have to wrestle one of these guys.
Put the ring right in the middle of the board.
Oh, no, it'd be great. Have the drivers out. I would love that.
And if you lose, if you don't get first, you have to wrestle one of these guys and get your ass kicked.
Klein would love it.
But who would he wrestle?
Or just
he
disputes.
Would be anybody. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Racing disputes? Out to the ring.
Right, yep. We'll take it to the center of the stage there. So I think that's what they need to do. I'd race better, I tell you that. There's some racers out there I probably wouldn't want to fight. There's some I think I can take, but you never know. I won't say who
I
they
think
are.
All the kids' as mom and dad would be mad at you to take the kids
you'd
on.
Beat up all the Bandolero drivers.
Yes.
Get out of the way.
Except for Rob Street. You might have a little problem with him. But.
No.
Rob's a softie.
I haven't seen Rob in a while. Speaking of Rob. But anyways, no, that was great. It was a cool event. I didn't see the main though. The
yeah,
second main.
The second
was
main. Yeah.
Probably just.
It
as
was
good.
Just as good as the first main. A lot of cars hitting hard. It was a good show. Really.
Yeah,
good
and he
show.
Can explain it. I didn't know till like JJ and him was explaining like these types of demos. These are full welds, you know.
And these
demolition.
People like travel the country doing demolition derbies,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
There was a guy, a couple. As he said, it was a team event. Some of them were from Florida.
That is
clear out here.
Long drive.
$30,000, man. I would drive to Florida.
Right.
If I was in that demo stuff still. But, yeah, it's... Oh, yeah.
So these are not stock. These are built cars.
Oh, these are built cars, yeah. I was walking in, and I look over in the guy's pits, and a whole entire rear end is sitting there like he can just unbolt it out of one car and bolt it into another and hook up the dry shaft and be on his way.
That's how it used to be in the Bandoleros and Legend Car days. We'd go back east, and they had cars all like, they had whole rear ends ready to go.
Yeah. And then the way these crush, man, the way they got them cut up, the where they crush, the back either goes up or it goes in.
So it doesn't stop anything. It doesn't bend the wheel wells, nothing.
No,
it just...
No, just, yep.
That's awesome. Well, there's one of these ones, to me, it ended up looking like a Honda. It looked like a short wheelbase Honda, but it's still running.
And the guy's still driving it. Yeah. In the second main, there was one, the way, I don't know what happened, but the way his car folded up, the roof was coming down, hitting him in the head. I mean, and he was still out there driving.
And the way they have these collapse, like if you take the back wheel, the trunk is flush
with the
bent
back,
up, with the back wheel,
yeah.
And you can see the whole rear end. Of course, it's not a stock rear end; it's fully welded. Who knows whatever they modified it to, but it's made to take some hits, even the rear end.
Yeah. And then there was a couple cars, the front ends were coming up, and you're like, well, why won't the motor go with it?
But they still run.
Oh, yeah, they were still running.
Jeez. They probably offset that motor a little farther back.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah. Or it's got a full cage around it, half-inch plate all the way around it.
Again, like he pointed out, like these are full welds, so they can pretty much do anything they want.
Yeah, they can do anything they want.
Because if there's chain.
We're not able to have those kind of cars with the bullring, right?
No.
Well, and the other style was like, I didn't know until he explained, like the bolt and
chain and bolt. Yep.
You know, where you can't weld all this stuff, you just chain and bolt the doors and the.
That's the
kind of
shows that we have at the bullring.
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
Yeah. Which are still fun to watch. To me, that might be more fun because once they're done, they're done.
Yeah. And back like in 01, if I'm not mistaken, you were only allowed to use a 20-inch piece of chain to go around the doors or the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, each piece was only allowed a certain length.
You know, and
so you couldn't like wrap it around. You only had one wrap and then bolt it together.
I remember back in those days. That's when Josh Gross's dad used to go out there and run the demolition derby as well. Don loved that stuff.
Yeah, and we ran a lot down at Orangeville in San Bernardino. So that's what they used to have, and then all these welded stuff started coming along, and now they have shows that's all welded. And let me tell you, they are welded.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, they put on a show, and that's what it is. Yeah, obviously entertainment, but obviously with all that welding, there's some money in those demolition cars, believe it or not. Seem like it, but you know, it's an entertainment class, and and just welding alone, they probably have, you know, $1,000 in just welding. not more, right?
Yeah.
So I wish they would try to promote or put on a demo. You think that would be good for, you know, a show out at the Bullring or something like that?
I mean, was it a bigger crowd than what the Bullring had?
I counted roughly, my guess, just off of the seating and all that, about 3,500 people.
And that's, as
a comparison, out there, that's full. There is no more seats, so it's only seated for about 3,500 people.
Yeah,
that's a full house. Vegas might be what, 5,000 maybe.
I think it's
you know, so it would almost be a full house at Vegas.
Oh yeah,
and let me tell you, that's pretty damn good for an event like that during our biggest dirt races out here at LVMS.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and as he said, that's not counting everybody that was standing.
Right.
From the pits watching. That's just what he counted.
Yeah.
You know, a rough guess of sitting.
Yeah, I honestly think we need to go back to the way motorsports was promoted in the 60s and 70s, and it's just carnivals. Let's throw out different ideas to bring people in the stands, and then maybe they'll come back next time. I mean, even if it's just some random guy trying to jump a bunch of trailers to...
Right. You know, I think unfortunately, like in today's world, a lot more politics get involved. So the insurances get more involved because of, you know, incidences that have happened over the years. So, you know, it's harder to get special events like that to be able
to.
Well,
you look at Night of Fire. Night of Fire always pulls.
Yeah.
Is it just the fireworks?
I think it's the fireworks and the reputation.
No, they go to watch the racing. Come on.
Well, you know, and a lot of people are off during that time. So, that you know, I mean, you can't just hold events when everybody's off during holidays, I guess. I guess you could, but wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah, but I mean, they just need to go back to just straight grassroots
well,
stuff.
You know,
let's not try to.
On these demos, like when they're done, like during the not intermission, but they're like the red flag or whatever, when they have to pull debris off the tracks, some of the guys get out of their vehicles because they've already pulled their flag. And they jump out and they run over to the edge and sit and watch. And you see them get out. They've got, you know, work boots on, jeans,
and a regular
t-shirt and a neck, you know, just a regular, you know, foam neck brace and an outdated helmet. that's their safety.
Yeah. So pretty much what we drive the skid plates.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, skid plate.
They don't require a fire suit?
Nope, just jacket.
Really?
That's
jacket, jeans with no holes.
That's crazy.
And shoes have to be leather.
Do you guys have any kind of like a license? Like Hynex has theirs? No.
No.
Wow.
In fact, we don't even have
the wild, wild west over there.
Yeah, I know.
Hey. You don't even have to have a harness. You could run the stock seatbelt.
Right. And that's how these demos are, of course. But you have to have a driver's license, I would assume.
Yes.
So no roll cage, right? Or a partial cage.
Minimum is a 4-point.
Okay.
Is that what they made it now?
Yeah,
so, not,
you have the hoop.
Now, is it a 4-point or a what do they call those?
T-bar?
T-bar?
No.
Jesus bar?
it's a hoop and the two legs coming down.
Oh, okay, like a
to the
drag race style.
That's the minimum.
The rollover.
You can full weld the whole thing if you want, but that's the minimum. But I would recommend at least welding out the driver door.
So, So would Billy's car be kind of legal?
A skid plate car?
You should see this thing. He did a pretty good job on that, making the full weld mini.
Full weld mini.
Full weld mini.
That Racer X car is pretty neat looking with the flamethrower and all that
cool stuff.
I mean, that it's something different. I like that.
Well, no,
something
exactly.
Different.
It's entertainment.
It is.
And people like that.
We need to make racetracks fun again.
Well, look at Cindy with her Wonder Woman theme. You know, maybe they should theme. Every car has to have some
kind of like monster
theme.
Trucks.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason there's fans, instant fans.
Well, I mean, it's just like going to like Disney on Ice nowadays, but it's still fun.
That's true. You know, but the, you know, that something that fans can relate to. You know, like whether it's a little kid or something else.
Billy says he's going to find out if it'll work as a skid plate car.
I still remember, just with cars relating to little kids, I still remember when Junior Jackson, you guys remember Junior Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he had all his little cartoon characters painted all over his car. He sure wasn't fast,
but
I mean, the kids, the kids
just
always had to go see him after the races.
Yep.
It was cool.
No, that's a good point.
That's what we're trying to do with the skid plates, actually. You know, the last couple of years, we've handed out T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Racer X handed out shirts. Wonder Woman handed out shirts, buttons, stickers. You know, have the kids come.
But imagine if you were in your car and you jumped out as Freak 33 in like some type of hero outfit. They remember you.
I thought looking like a stormtrooper.
Yeah, exactly right.
No. Amazingly, it was a couple months ago. I ran into someone and they saw my shirt and they're like, "Hey. I saw you
racing
out at the," and they were asking me questions about it. So that was kind of cool. It was kind of that fame moment when you really don't think you're famous. You're just out there having fun.
I thought I was famous when I was growing up, and remember when they had Channel 33?
Yeah.
Ron Futrell came out there, and he would always have some of the races on the Channel 6 or.
Mm-hmm.
Early Saturday morning, it was always a lot of fun watching yourself and then going out there that night thinking you're pretty cool and no one ever watched that show.
Well, you know, somebody did somewhere. And
exactly.
If anything, you did.
Right.
My mom.
Yeah, your mom, your family, you know, you're a hero in your own mind. You know, nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, and then we did the same thing. We started in-car cams. So a lot of the skid plate cars started in-car cams. And then me and Cindy Clark started the Skid Plate Facebook.
Right.
Allowing everyone to post their videos so then you can see the race.
Show your phone, please.
There's your fan calling you, asking you questions.
So, you know, that just goes to say, going back to what you were saying, Kevin, about, you know, the old ways of doing things, kind of bringing some entertainment back in.
Oh, it needs it. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, everyone complains about the price. The price is going to go up.
Right.
I mean, just the cost of living.
Well, but really,
things go up.
But the price of entry or anything like that, let's just say on the spectator side, really hasn't changed in the last, I don't know, much in the last 10
no,
years.
Not,
even,
not that bad.
That I know of.
No.
But you go to a movie, you pretty much go out anywhere, and you're spending $25 a head. So what's the difference?
Well,
tickets and hot dogs?
And I don't think you can compare like price to price because it's all about value. What do you get for your $12 versus what do you get for your $25 at the movies? You go to the movies expecting certain things, and you always complain about how much you spend, but you do it again next time and next time. And, you know, you keep doing it. Same thing. You know, if you feel like you're getting the value for whatever you're spending, they could charge $30 a head out there if they wanted to. Just like the demos, they charge $40 a head, and you had 3,500 people in those stands. $40 a head, you know, 37 and some change, you know. But they still filled the arena.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, my biggest thing that I just look at and just taking a look at, and again, Chuck just said raise the price for the purses. They're not actively, I mean, from what I see, they're not actively going out there looking for different sponsors to sponsor different classes. And then when you do have those guys who are very emotional, like when I was growing up, one of my favorite racers was Donnie Williams.
Yeah.
He was a very emotional guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he will tell you right then and there, like, hey, he was upset.
Right.
And he would show, like, we were able to see as a fan,
right,
we were able to look at the track and he would show his frustrations. And I love that. And that's why I always kind of flock to someone like him. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
you know,
nowadays we're fining them, we're kicking them out.
Right.
I mean, I don't think we need to kick them out. I think we need to allow drivers to show that emotion.
Yeah.
And don't push people away.
Well, you know what? Because as a fan, to you, when you see that, that's somebody out there racing, but he's racing at his 100%.
Exactly.
He's out there racing because he wants to race, you know, for whatever reason. And you see that as a fan if there's an incident or something like that.
And that's why on a pro level,
mm-hmm,
that's why I'm a Kyle Busch fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people at the bull ring are not, and that might be personal reasons.
Well,
but,
no, I don't think.
But
that's
exactly that. He says it like it is. He's upset. He's upset. If he thinks something was bad, something was bad. You either like it or you don't. He's there to race. He's there to win.
Exactly.
Right. Well,
you know, you're a fan or you're not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as any other sport. You know, people are yelling at the TV, oh, the quarterback did this and this. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. You just need to get over it.
I remember I was on the track with Spencer Clark. I was on the track with Kyle Busch. Watching that feud there, watching TJ Clark get out of the car and throw his steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the track. I go, man, that was pretty badass. I just thought that we need to bring that kind of,
well, yes,
not those kind of tempers, but that
kind of
passion.
Passion in racing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We need to bring that passion back.
You know, obviously,
TJ still has that passion. No, seriously.
Oh, no, I.
Well, because he's the one that helped me get into Skid Plate.
Right.
And it was very much like that. You know, I did my first race and I kind of bent the car and I brought it back over and I said, hey, think you can help me fix it? He's like, sure, no problem. Yeah, that's easy fix.
Right.
Grab that off the shelf and do it.
Right.
No, I'm like, wait, I don't. He's like, oh, set it up. I'll show you how to do it, but you're going to do
gonna
it.
You're going
to
be the one doing it.
But I like that, mm-hmm, you know, that's the way he runs with Fabozzi too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the kids, you it's your car. You need to know what your car is going to do. You need to work it.
He did that with all the program kids too.
So you earn it.
Right.
You earn it. You learn.
Well,
it.
Well, and part of that program is to learn all aspects.
Oh yeah,
of racing.
Right. So
you're not just
you know, get in the car and I don't know what's wrong with it.
Right.
You know what's wrong. You change the tires.
Yeah.
You check the air pressure. You know, looked at the link. You know, pull out the worn out part and see.
Right.
See, you're doing this. What are you driving? How are you driving?
Yeah, you know,
if you're doing
and one thing, you know, obviously within today's world with virtual everything, it's good to have a hands-on like that. But
absolutely,
but, you know, you're right. The actual passion in the racing, you don't see a lot of that sometimes because we see a lot of the younger drivers where if they do wreck something, they don't get mad about it. They just walk away because they know grandpa's going to pay to fix it, or they have paid somebody to take care of all that for them. So they don't worry because they know they're going to be out there the next race. You get like a Donnie Williams or somebody in the past where if you broke or wrecked or whatever, you're trying to make the next race. You got to fix that yourself, you know, and you knew you had to do that.
Well, you're calling Gary, you know, an hour before the race, you know, to come help you, you know,
right,
replace the axle right before you get out onto the track.
You know, and that's, you know, part of it. But, you know, you said Chuck talk about maybe raising the purse and stuff like that. There's a lot of different ways to try to bring in. He's probably talking about car counts and things like that. And, you know, obviously that's one way.
They're going the right direction with that mod program. They really are. Whatever they're doing there with the 602 crate motors, making it.
You know, the 602 program has been something that's been working all over, you know, because it's taken the
price down.
Yeah, the price down. It pisses off a lot of the local motor guys, I'm sure, because that's not something that, you know, that you see out there a lot of anymore is
I honestly think they need to do the 602 motors in those cars, in the street stocks. I think the super late model should be the only thing that should be built up out there.
Well, but they do have an option for that in the street stocks, the super stocks. They can run a 602 crate motor.
I think they all should.
But they also have an option with the open motor, which I like because you do have an option. Whereas the 602 mods, it's not an option. That's what it is. You have to run that. And I don't know what their seal program is. If they're just doing a GM seal, I can't tell you anything about the mod program itself. Yeah. But they limit that, and they also have them on one tire. You know, but I don't know what their tire roll is or anything like that locally for their local program. But you know,
it should be exactly the same through all divisions except the super late models.
Yeah, but at some point, it's good to have those spec series because trust us. We know because we run a truck series that is a spec series.
And you'll start to see your car counts go up because of it.
Well, and they are, and as we go forward, we're going to see a lot more of that, and we'll speak some more of that before we run out of time because we do have a race this weekend. But, you know, there's a reason for that because the initial cost might be there, but once you get that initial cost out of the way, it's more affordable to race.
Right.
You know, and that's why programs like that work. And I guess, you know, I can see both sides. I can see your side because – if it works in this division, why can't it work in this other division? You know, like a street stock or something like that. And you're still going to have your premier division, which is, you know, your super lates or an open, whatever you want to call it, an open. You know, there's got to be step levels. And I think that's ideally what you want to see, a skid plate, a bomber type division. Because to me, street stocks are like, you know, factory stock, stuff like that. That's stock car racing. That's why it's called stock car racing. I like stock car racing. I like seeing the wheels, you know, squealing and, you know, the banging and stuff like that. That's stock car racing.
Yeah.
But there's also room, I think, for like the 602 where you reduce the horsepower and you just get guys side by side and they have to do more strategy to pass and for setups and stuff like that.
I mean, it's just one of those things where you see who works on their setup when the 602 mods. I mean, I'm not out there all the time, but I could definitely take a look at Race Monitor and tell you exactly by the times who's actually putting the work during the week, who's taking their race car off the trailer and setting it up and working on things, and who's not.
Yeah.
Same thing with the bombers.
Yeah, that's any,
you can tell exactly who's actually, you know, doing the work, and then who's not doing the work.
You know, and that's in any. Well, those divisions, doesn't even the legends and the bandos and all that, you know who's working on the stuff and who doesn't. But I don't know. I see your side of it, but I also see a side that where we still got to make sure we have a stock car racing that is not spec.
Yeah.
You know, and trust me, I'm a spec guy, you know, because that's what, you know, that's fun. Spec divisions are fun, and there's a reason for them because you're trying to give an equal playing field and putting it more into the driver's hands and some setup stuff, obviously. But
the biggest thing I think is just getting the car counts back.
Yeah.
Get the car counts back. You'll get the fans back. Cause again, more car counts, they're going to have their friends come out to watch them. Their friends are going to bring their friends. And then of course, throw in the old school promoting.
Do you think that's true though?
Oh,
Cause I know, you know, when I used to go out there a lot. You know, I would have some people come out and sit in the stands, but I don't know. It just seemed like it's hard for me to go watch races. I don't hardly go to watch any races. I'm not racing because to me it's boring, man. I don't like watching races. I like seeing people I know.
Well,
you know. But
once the car counts start to shrink, you're right. It gets boring because it's just there's no passing. There's
even
no
the mods, for instance. They're boring to me now because they're not the modifieds to me are modifieds. It's called a modified for a reason. They're loud. They got modified engines. They got modified chassis. They're not modifieds anymore. They're a toned down, race car that have DB levels limited and motors limited and tires limited and. It's not a modified. It's not modified. What's modified on it? And I'm just throwing stuff out there. So don't get mad at me. I'm just throwing out some stuff.
No, I think the easiest way is to bring in a mini stock division to let the skid plate cars run mini stock.
Well, and that would be okay.
But then the mini stock drivers are going to have to step up and put bigger roll cages in, race seats. I mean.
But then that also makes it safer for the skid plate division. If your car is already set up for one, so you're safer actually in both. And I think it should be that way anyway. Coming from an accident in a skid plate car,
well, you know,
I would totally build it a different way now. I would build it.
You know, that would actually bring a good way of somebody who got into skid plate as an entertainment, but get them actually into a racing program like a mini stock division or something like that.
Well, because then you're actually four wheels on the track, mm-hmm. circle track time. And then that will allow you to move up to a bomber.
Right.
To go from a skid plate to a bomber, it's a different beast. They're
right.
They're not even close to each other. So you're starting bomber as a fresh new driver. So if you don't have the seat time in a four-wheel circle track car, it's going to take time to get going. Where I think a mini stock, you can at least get that experience of four wheels and then move up.
I don't know. What's your take, Gary?
Hey.
He's bombers, man. Bombers all the way.
Bombers all the way.
And all four bombers, by the way.
Back in the day when they had a variety of different, they had Cadillacs, they had wagons, they had, a variety of stuff. That was, I liked back racing when it first started in the bomber division.
So what changed?
Because they've done it. They did everything. They went the track down. You guys went the different way. So it was the same thing every single time. It's something different.
Something different.
As a driver's standpoint from, looking into it, you like those days.
Oh,
it was entertainment.
It was
7-inch tire. You didn't allow hardly anything on your chassis or
before
suspension.
All this. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was stock car. Stock car racing.
Up until recent, you had to have stock springs and stock shocks.
Stock appearing or stock location. It had to be stock.
Yeah, it had to be stock.
We'll blame Mike Miller for that one. Right?
I think it's all Mike
Miller's fault.
That's right. Miller's fault all the way.
I just saw him log in, so we got to blame him for something.
That's right.
We were talking about Mike Miller for the last 40 minutes, by the way. Mike Miller.
We just didn't blame him for nothing, but now we're blaming him.
We'll blame him. We'll stop talking about you. We talked about you for 40 minutes. We're going to stop talking about Mike Miller right now.
Perfect.
But I like
back when the
too.
Bombers first started, it was like the Rolling Demolition Derby.
Yeah,
you know, you
that's
can
what
hit
it was
the yep,
how they
and
that's
you
how
can
they
hit that
it.
Hit anybody as long as you don't hit them in the driver door.
And they encourage if the first place guy was lapping everybody and he's coming around to try to not really take him out but to try to slow him down.
But
I think a lot of that rolls to the pros too. Cuz NASCAR at the time 60s or not 70s, 80s. That's they were still bumping into each other, knocking.
Right, that's stock car racing. And that's
it was
what
stock
I
car
like.
Racing. Now that it's got so
corporate,
right?
Corporate.
And there's a lot more money involved.
It's
and you know,
more money.
But that rolled backwards down to the track. I think that rolled backwards down to the local tracks.
You know, and talking about like what you said, Chuck. You know, hey, bring up the purse, you'll get more car counts and stuff like that. That's true. You pay more money, that's why the big events bring in such large.
Well, just look at Havasu.
Yeah.
I mean, Havasu, I remember when we ran the modified series, the track would actually, the promoters would actually give us tow money to go out there.
Right.
So, I mean, there was money that they were getting, but they weren't hoarding it.
Right.
they were giving it, exactly. They were right. getting it, throwing it right back out
right.
to the drivers.
And a good point of Havas is they don't put on the big dollar race and stuff like that, but they always get a good
sponsor.
They promote
sponsor.
Well.
Yeah, they got
yeah.
decent sponsors.
Yep.
Yeah, they promote well. And they always fill the stands.
And,
you know,
and you know, like I say, what's that? Get it in gear. Factory stocks,
mm-hmm.
and then they have an office something for the Bandoleros.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all of them, but you know,
they have a sponsor.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, there's financials involved. Let's say at the Bullring, for instance. To me, and this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
when you have a support track like the Bullring at a super speedway, purses and it should be unlimited. They should put out a big payout event. And have a big purse every race,
yeah.
because it shouldn't be about the little track making money for the big track. It should be the little track being community conscious or to be have community involvement. So put the money out towards your little track. You know,
yeah.
the super speedway to me should, you know, allow some of that money to flow towards these smaller tracks.
I 100% agree
that that's
that.
On its own property. So
no,
that's my
I
opinion again. You know,
because if you can fill the local track. You'll fill the big track on race days.
Yeah, you're building automatic fans for the
yep.
big track.
Because I've been to the NASCAR race.
Mm-hmm.
It's not full. It's close.
What I'm going to judge the Bullring on is I'm gonna judge them on their K&N race, how they promote it. If that grandstand is empty and there's not – like if there's still room, they did that was a failed event.
You know, the thing is, the Bullring, they do promote the local shows. I mean, I hear it on the radio. I see it in different places, but I still, not to say that they're not, you know, and they're not always full, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to see more people in those stands.
But with the K&N race being the same weekend as the first cup race,
mm-hmm.
if that grandstand is not full, that should be
a
total failure on their team.
No, I agree. You know, I think we should see that. As a full event, you know, I mean, those are teams, you know, that's a traveling touring series that should bring
and
in.
They need to bring in another touring series, I think, to help out with that.
Yeah, and that's what we're there for. But it's not something that may happen in the future. We'll wait and see. But speaking of the late model truck series, we have a race this weekend. It's a West Coast Tour Championship. For West Coast Racing Tour Series, like the SRL Spears late model, the SR Spears Modified, and of course the late model truck series will be out there along with the junior mm-hmm. late models. The only tour series out there this weekend is going to be a big event. There's a Friday practice for us that starts earlier, and if you look at the Saturday schedule, it does start earlier than normal.
Yeah, the grandstand gates open at 2.
Wow, that's pretty early.
You guys might actually get me out there, too.
There,
just
man.
Saying. Just saying. We got Chris Benner's coming out from Blythe, California to come run the truck
there
here.
You go.
So I'm just saying.
You know, we got some great drivers from all over that are going to be there. It's going to be a really cool event. And then, like you said, we got guys like that are dabbling in the series for the first time all the way from Blythe. You know, we're looking forward to that.
That was one track that I was very sad to see.
Oh, man, I didn't like Blythe. I'm sorry. It was fun to travel there. It's just a weird track. I just could never get it.
Yeah, no.
But that's me.
The funny thing is, though, we brought the Modified out there one of the last times, and it was just – and this was when we were running the Modified for Aaron was running for H-Town Racing,
yeah.
Tom
okay.
Bunstein mm-hmm. stuff. And it was weird because Aaron's car wasn't doing well. Tom pulled off. Aaron jumped in Tom's car. And then some old guy, we'd never even seen him, help push the car start and end up going right underneath the right rear tire
on
Aaron. So I'm standing there with our whole entire crew, and they're like, Kevin, what do we do? I'm like, well, I got to go up and spot, so I got to go do that. Help this guy out.
Right.
And, like, it was a mess.
That's crazy.
All that for, I don't even know where we finished. I think we broke the top 5.
One of those events you don't want to remember. But you did. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's funny. Yeah, it's not funny, but it's funny now.
Yeah,
looking back. But
when you get red flagged for an old man hanging off.
Oh yeah, no.
The
sad thing is they did go ahead and red flag it for that.
Oh,
because
no,
they had to get the ambulance over to him and things like that.
That's crazy.
But I know,
guess that's Michael Miller's fault.
It is.
Yeah, I will blame Miller on everything.
No matter how you look at it.
Now, one thing that I want to point out is, since is Cindy going to still be out in Mexico for that?
She's going to be in Mexico. We know her priorities are.
Yeah. And now is her truck going to be out there? The Here Clear truck?
Yes.
It's still going to be
out there?
You're
on
that
one?
All right.
I'll
perfect.
Be in that one. So you'll still see it. I won't cover up the Here Clear, so
yes.
we'll go ahead and run it.
We won't duct tape over the Here Clear.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, Cindy, thank you. Here Clear sponsoring us again for this, even this last event throughout our season. If you win the heat race and the main event in the same night, she's sponsoring a custom set of earbuds for your, you know, for the driver that wins that. So thank
I
you.
I think
Cindy.
Any driver that needs new earbuds.
Give her a call.
Yeah.
You will vouch for them.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They're great earbuds.
He's got some. You got more than one.
Oh, yeah. I got more than one pair.
He liked them so much, he got
multiple pairs. And I'm going to get another set because the first two sets she made me, not the color I want. So I'm going to buy another set
and
for
custom
the color
colors.
I want.
Listen,
that's
custom
right.
color. You can get them. And she does them two different colors, so they're easy to put in, you know, left ear, right ear.
I thought he was going
to
tell me he was going to get the hearing aids for when he's watching Matlock or something. I just wanted to make sure that.
He's not telling us that, but that's what he's doing.
Perfect.
But yeah, I'm glad you brought
did
that
Cindy
up.
Tell you that?
No, she did.
Okay.
She did.
I'm sure.
Uh-huh. So now she's got higher priorities all the way down in
down in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's all right. Mexico's fun, right?
It's okay this time.
Especially the Baja 1000.
I was supposed to be there on Monday, but then I decided to go to work.
Dang. Well, in your case, work's fun and play is fun, so you can't complain either way.
No.
No, I'm just
to answer Chuck's question, no.
I don't know what
the question
was.
is there a truck available?
Oh, unfortunately, not this race.
Nope.
But I was expecting to see a truck out on a trailer, but then when I showed up, it was not there.
I know. Mm-hmm. Right.
Where's that one at?
Being worked on.
All being prepped. But, you know, if you are interested, get a hold of one of us for next year because we have so many people that want to get into these trucks. It's not even funny. So
I might be one of them.
And we are real selective. So.
But if you want to buy one, you can always do that too.
Yeah, it's hard. You have to talk to Gary about that because I hate selling stuff.
No, I will take the.
We can trade. I got a modified. That's, I'm just saying. It's not a
no,
six.
No, you don't need no more modifieds. Trust
true.
Me.
I do have a.
And,
I have two of them.
TJ Miller says he's bringing his BMX bike. No, he's not. He is going to leave that at home.
Is there a backstory? I'm totally lost on this.
Last time we were at the bull ring, he wrecked in the middle of it and broke his shoulder.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's TJ
Miller.
Our photographer, TJ Miller. I don't
okay.
know if you know who that is.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's our photographer. So.
Yeah, he broke his shoulder. While going from one end of the track, one end of the track to the other to take pictures in a different corner.
Yes, we don't let him.
Maybe
on
you get him a golf cart or something.
No, walking. He's safer walking. I think
we're gonna get a football set up for him with shoulder pads and helmet and everything.
Yeah.
So that's better than a race outfit. So.
Or they could just repave the infield of the racetrack.
Don't start trouble, man.
Was that the issue? Was it in the middle?
Yeah.
Was
a pothole.
Wow.
No,
yeah.
No. His chain came off as he was pedaling.
That's what it was. That's what
his
it was.
Chain
so that
came
was his
off.
Lack of prep.
Yeah, that was his lack of prep. I'm sorry.
Again,
I was told
the truck
was
being prepped.
I was told it was a pothole, but
yeah,
somebody
no,
else said,
he
yeah,
told
he
me
said
it was.
Was.
He told me it was a chain
yeah.
came off, and I believe Patrick has it on video.
Oh well, we don't want to see it. So on a better note,
this Saturday,
go out there, watch. It's going to be a big event. There's a lot of great racing. The SRL Spears late model have a 150 lap
yes.
race. They're going to have their SRL Spears modified. Of course, us there, we're going to be there, the late model truck series and the junior late models. And it's all West Coast touring series. It's our championship. Then I think it's anybody else. So that is maybe
you guys know you're a champion, though, right? It's not locked up again.
It's not locked in. So
all right.
It depends on
you
the
have to show up and watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks. We'll see you out the track. Otherwise, we'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. When are we going to see you next?
I don't know.
All right. We'll see. We'll keep you informed. Thank you for being here. I coined you as our guest host, so I hope you come back as a guest host some more.
Oh no, I like coming out and talking. I talk too much sometimes. You guys got to come and sit up.
No, hey.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.